This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, I'm Melissa Idris with Julian Ng and Ibrahim Sani, and you're listening to The Morning Run, 7:45 on the clock, Thursday the 19th of May. Today's Breakfast Grill is a panel. Sharad Kutan will be speaking to two guests about the Pacific Alliance, which is a Latin American trade bloc, and it features some further integration features as well. So currently has four member states. You've got Chile, Colombia, Mexico and Peru. And I believe Costa Rica is the latest member to join this bloc.
Yep. So the two guests includes the ambassador of Mexico to Malaysia, His Excellency Carlos Felix Corona, as well as the head of the Center for Latin America Studies of University of Malaya, Dr. Lily Yuliadi. And I think they will uncover on earth the kind of questions like how the Pacific Alliance will compare against other global pacts and perhaps how that fits into the ASEAN model.
And I think that from a personal viewpoint, we have such a big home bias thinking that investing in Malaysia is the best thing that you can do. And these countries are so far away. We don't know much about Mexico and Peru, but these are actually economies with very strong potential selling to the United States of America in the backyard. So it really teaches us a lesson that we sometimes have to look beyond our own shores for growth and for innovation.
And while geographically they are, you know, halfway across the world, we are going to be connected very soon on the Trans-Pacific Alliance, the TPPA, and you know, many of these countries like Colombia, Mexico, they're all in the TPPA signatories, and I think we have to look into how we can work better with all these countries in that one agreement.
Actually, not if Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton become president, because they oppose the TPPA.
Yeah, and therefore my bet is still on Sanders.
Well, also if you get a president. Trump, then there might be a giant wall separating Mexicans from coming into the US. Okay, so on the Breakfast Grill, a panel on the Pacific Alliance. We'll find out more about this trade bloc on the Breakfast Grill. The Auditor General yesterday said that the financial management performance of federal ministries declined overall in 2015. Satan Sri Amrin Buang reported that few of them rated excellent compared to the last 2 years.
Yeah, I think this is a big case for Malaysia to look at. And some of them are really, really damaging. In fact, Tan Sri Amrin Buang under the AG report actually called out a few organizations. One of them is the Malaysian Agri-Food Corporation, Berhad. They have racked up losses of close to half a billion ringgit. And it's not new. They have been racking losses every year since 2013. And another company that the AG called out is the ERL extension project. He says that the government failed to get best value of money for the when they awarded the ERL extension contract to Express Rail Links in Berhad. This is again another loss for the government. So there's a lot of money being lost, and these are public funds, your money and mine actually.
I like how the headlines actually spin it, right? Or whether these are the exact words of Tan Sri Amrin, I'm not sure. But few ministries rated as excellent, is that the same as more ministries rated as not excellent or performing worse than expected? And I don't know how we can get around this problem because, as you say, this is our money. Should we suggest that government ministries should have an online real-time data of all transactions that are being made? We are living in an age of very high technology, so this kind of process would be very easy to implement, right? To prevent things like 200 ringgit screwdrivers or 50 ringgit nasi lemak. I mean, I'm just giving very facetious examples here, but this kind of expose and transparency does have a limit, a deterrent on wrongdoings.
Okay, just to correct you about the excellent and not excellent. There's actually a ranking system when it comes to the AG's report. So there's excellent and several other rankings. Apparently, 16 ministries out of the 20 ministries in 2014 ranked excellent, and 23 in 2013. But like you, Jules, I think
Melissa, yes. So this is extra data here.
Yes.
Only 55%, 22 out of 40 departments were rated excellent, which means there is another 45. That's that's a lot. To me, that's a lot. And this 55% is a drop from the 57 from before, and of course, an improvement from 47% in 2014. But it shows us that more than around half of government departments are not performing up to par.
Okay, so what does this mean, right? So every year we get the Auditor General's report and we hear about leakages and wastages and a lack of governance that has allowed for money to be wasted, our money to be wasted. And I think, okay, so Tan Sri Amrin Buang is the Auditor General. He's an auditor. His job is to highlight these discrepancies and the poor governance in ministries. But for me, I want to know what action has been taken. And I think at the end of the day, every year I hear the I look at the Auditor General's report in great detail and I hear about it, but I don't hear about action being taken against the people who have led to this situation of wastages and leakages. Mm-hmm. And that's what I think people like me want to know. I read the Auditor General's report every day. It's almost the same script with the names and figures changed. Mm-hmm. But then what? Mm-hmm. Right?
What do you think, Melissa? What do you think can be done?
Well, I do believe, as always, our enforcement and action after is always the biggest problem for when it comes to governance. So perhaps there are regulations within ministries that don't allow for people to be fired or to be removed. But I think that's not been highlighted enough in the media or by the government themselves or by the Attorney General's Department, Auditor General's Department. Perhaps, you know, I would like to see people who signed off on these procurement documents or perhaps did not do the right, follow the right SOP. Who are these people and what have been done to them? Were they removed from their positions in the department? Have they just been shuffled around? Were they given a mandatory, you know, leave of absence and then back to work as normal as though nothing happened?
Yeah, I think the core topic here is accountability. If there is a wrongdoing, they should be facing the necessary action.
So it's not the Attorney General. I keep calling him the Attorney General. It's not the Auditor General's job to do that. His job is to highlight.
And he has done so.
And he has done so. Every year with a report, he has done so. Whose job is it to take action? And that's what I would like to know.
And over the last few days, I guess we've been dealing with this news of passport suspension, your travel overseas, it being a privilege, not a right, right? So I think that there are ways to also restrict the movements of public officials not to commit corruptive acts or wrongdoings. Asset declaration is one way to do that, and being really extremely transparent about these transactions, either using open tender and an online website to monitor and track all transactions by government departments are a way to deter and to prevent this kind of things from happening.
Yeah, and speaking about accountability, Dato' Sri Nazir Razak will assume the role as chairman of CIMB Group today after he was being cleared by a review process, both internal review as well as they got EY as well, Ernst & Young, to actually do the audit. And basically, he's all cleared.
Okay, so why do you say, speaking of accountability, do you see that what he did was a step in the right direction of good governance?
Yeah, of course, because this is the whole idea. You allow for the necessary due process to take place. And of course, you have to also look at the scope of what they're investigating. The scope that they're investigating was to actually see whether or not he did any wrongdoing in his role as chairman or at that moment in time as the CEO of CIMB Bank. In that regard, he's cleared. But in the other regard, whether or not it's okay for you to transfer millions of dollars for political funding, that remains to be left unanswered. Because... go ahead.
Actually, if you rummage through the press release by CIMB themselves, Ernst & Young did say that, the chairman of the audit committee did say that a detailed examinations conducted during the review identified some process shortcomings, and the boards have instructed the management to put in place plans for immediate improvements as well as strengthen internal rules and processes to avoid reoccurrences moving forward. And I think that this should not be lost in the positive headlines. I'm just wondering whether this report, the full report, will be made public. I am still thinking about, even though Nazir Razak has been cleared, I'm still thinking about whether there were violations in anti-money laundering rules, there were violations in, let's say, income taxes. I mean, $7 million passed through your accounts. Did you violate any of these other income tax rules? How do you account for such money passing through your accounts, yeah, right?
And also the ethical aspects of it, whether he knew or not the full details of what he was being asked to do, you can't absolve the ethical aspects of what he did.
Right? Yeah. So we got the AG report that is left unanswered because no accountability action has been taken forward. There's a lot of problems with regard to how Dato' Sri Nazir Razak is being investigated. AMLA, income tax, political financing act that is not yet being enacted. So many things are still left pending. And the finance ministry plans to do many more things, right? One of them is the plan to enact an act to champion GLC reform. And
it's SOGA, right?
Yeah, it's SOGA. It's okay. Called the State-Owned Enterprise and Government-Linked Companies Act, known as SOGA.
I think SOGA is easier to say. Yeah. That sounds like a mouthful.
Incidentally, this is led by Khazana themselves, who was also named and shamed in the AG's report, having started this food company. We've had very bad luck with food-related. We had the NFC.
Food security.
Yeah, so Khazana started what is called the Malaysian Agri-Food Corporation Berhad, which has lost close to ₱500 million over the last few years. You know, could this have footed the bill for incentivization of the private sector, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, going back to Nazir Razak, who's returning as chairman of CIMB, which, by the way, also owned by Khazana, I think.
Yeah.
The question is, just to put things into perspective, if the head of JP Morgan, Jamie Dimon, or Goldman Sachs, Lloyd Blankfein, or, you know, head of DBS, having had $7 million channeled through their personal accounts, would that create, you know, imagine the kind of hoo-ha it would have created, right? Just to put that into perspective.
Right. Yeah.
While all this is still ongoing, Khazana opens up a fresh new office in London as their European HQ. Now, this is unbelievable. We have so much things happening right now domestically, and yet Khazana, that has been implicated in the AG's report over and over again, continues on with this expansion plan.
And, you know, I'm just still looking at the Auditor General's report and some of the revelations that I'm seeing, really quite astonishing. I don't know why I'm still surprised after so many years, but still, one particularly that struck me was about the ERL. Now, if you remember, we talked about this, has it been a year now?
Mm-hmm.
About the price, prices and increase. Now, according to the AG's report, the government had failed to get the best value for money when it awarded the KLIA Express Rail Link Extension Project to Express Rail Link Sdn Bhd.
Yeah,
there are two crimes here. Yeah. One is that it was over budget by 30%, from 100 million to 130 million. And secondly, the developer is now claiming 2.9 billion in compensation for the 5-year long delay before it could start the ERL from KLIA to KLIA. Mm-hmm.
So those are the two crimes that has been committed. But then there's a structural flaw that has been highlighted by the AG's report, saying that the price negotiations was not conducted prior to the submission of project cost estimates for the approval of the Economic Council. So what happened there when price negotiations was not sent for approval?
So is it a case of, you know, being, you know, these things being highlighted, is it a case of too little too late? The ink is dried on the document. We've already signed that agreement. This is what we'll have to live with, right?
Yeah, so that's exactly what EY is saying, right? Just because, you know, there's the spilt milk right now, it doesn't mean that we have to walk away from this mess. It means that we have to introduce new measures to stop these things from reoccurring. Yes, we know that these are the crime that has been committed, if I may use that word. It doesn't mean that we have to stay on the sidelines and do nothing. We can urge the necessary authorities to actually introduce new measures in place to actually safeguard the interests of the public.
Just a quick note that Express Rail Link is a joint venture company between YTL Corporation and Lembaga Tabung Haji, as well as Trisilco Equity Berhad. Okay, coming up on The Breakfast Grill, Sharad Kutin will be speaking to two guests today about the Pacific Alliance. Now, the guests will be the His Excellency Carlos Felix Corona, Ambassador of Mexico to Malaysia, as well as Dr. Lily Yulyaidi, Head of the Centre of Latin American Studies at University of Malaya. Make sure you stay tuned for The Breakfast Grill. That's coming up after the 8 o'clock news bulletin on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.